Hi, my name is Silvia Polini and this is my two cents on entrepreneurship. I personally think entrepreneurship is like being pushed over a cliff and falling into an ocean, yet you don't know how to swim. But you don't give up and drown. You struggle and you hold on, and somehow in the middle of the waves, you learn how to swim. Welcome to Young Women in Business. This is a segment under the Twisted Perspective podcast that is dedicated to entrepreneurs, idealists, and innovators.
So all our friends and family would be like, y'all should just do this. And we throw it out there like, oh, maybe we'll open a restaurant. And they're like, what? Do it. We love your food. Mm-hmm. And then that's just kind of how we decided to do it, because there was just an obvious market gap.
So who's Faiza, besides your Nairobi R&B event business, Burrito Bar, and all these amazing things you're doing?
Faiza is number one, a citizen of the world, actually. Mm-hmm. I don't know why I didn't think of that first. I was going to jump into other stuff. But yeah, number one, I'm a citizen of the world. I actually got trained between the ages of 13 and 15 at this program called Youth Leaders International, mm-hmm. where they pick 6 students from each continent that they predict to be leaders of sorts. And then when I was like around 19, I went back and I worked as a teacher now, creating these programs for other students and that kind of thing. So number one, I'm a citizen of the world. I feel like I've been trained that way from when I was much younger, and that kind of thing. And number two, I'm a philanthropist. I actually opened my first NGO when I was like 18.
You've been doing so much. As in, that adds up to like the chunk of things that I've just learned about you. So, wow, okay.
Yeah, I started it off with a good friend of mine called Sana. Shout out to Sana from Keele University. We met there. And it started off by just wanting to do some form of good. From that came... amazing things like, you know, I don't know if you know about like Hands Off Our Elephants right now, that campaign that Peter Moll and them are running. I mean, we were the first to do this before even this came about. And I remember actually giving some of the ideas for this initiative with Daniela Morgan. And yeah, I mean, this is something that's really true to who I am. And I remember like growing up, like my folks and stuff would be like, bro, you need to make money in order to give money. and that would never, like, it never made sense to me. So I think that's also a huge part of who I am. Outside of that, I'm an animal lover. I'm a big, you know, freak about, like, you know, energies and vibes and constellations. And I meditate, so... I mean, I'm not a yogi, but I meditate.
It actually gives you some certain kind of peace that you just can't get from anything else. I totally get that.
Yeah, and I think outside of even the peace part, it allows you to listen to your own voice.
Yeah.
Which I feel like a lot of people listen to a lot of the other noise, like a lot of this other extra stuff that's happening on the outside world. Yeah, I mean... If you sit with yourself in silence, I personally believe even just 10 minutes every day, number one, you've given yourself a platform, like you've given yourself a stage, you've told yourself that you're important enough to be listened to. Yeah. So, I mean, I can't even tell you how important that is, because if you don't believe that you have a voice or you should be listened to in any shape, way, or form, then truthfully, nobody will.
So true.
Those little things that I pick up from meditation and I guess from that yogi world, but I don't like to put people off with it, because I feel like once people understand or feel like you're a yogi or whatever, it becomes more difficult for them to want to like relate, because then they're like, oh, I'll never get there, or that's not for me or whatever. But just sit in silence for 10 minutes, you know, and journal, most, write down how you feel or what's going on.
The important thing I think you can give yourself is just time.
Time.
Like time for yourself to just reflect and think, I am so with you on that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm so with you on that. Totally get that.
Yeah, so yeah. I think that wraps up my personality outside of what I do.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
So I don't even know where to start, as in you've done so much.
Oh god,
wow. Like, okay, so I just asked you what started first, Nairobi R&B or Barito Bar, and you told me Barito Bar started out first.
Yes.
So how was that? When did it start? How did you start it? Did you start it alone? So many questions, but I got you.
So, initially I studied law, like in university and that kind of thing. And then my sister had already moved back, and her name is Fatuma, okay. And she's my business partner, sister, life friend,
mm-hmm.
mentor. Like there's so many roles she plays.
She's
yeah.
Older than
she's 3 years older than
all
me.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, I studied law, she studied business. We love Mexican food.
Mm-hmm.
We lived in the UK. Then we moved back to Kenya. We just went to the UK to study and we came back. And when we got back here, I mean, we wanted to get into some form of entrepreneurship, because that's something like, I mean, we were raised by my grandmother, so she is like one hell of an entrepreneur, dude. Like,
mm-hmm.
I could tell you for a fact, she doesn't read or write, but she has built an entire empire. I have no words. Like, I'm usually speechless when I speak about her, because it's just like almost like a miracle. I don't know how she did it.
I think hard work, but, consistency, I don't know.
Yeah, she still can't count. She still can't read.
So how does she do it?
This is what I'm saying.
Ah.
This is exactly what I'm saying. She's just like crazy street smart. Like crazy street smart.
Mm-hmm.
She started with nothing and built majority of what my family can claim to own
mm-hmm.
today. And I mean, she raised me and my sister. So since I was like 5 years old, we were always like, you know, counting money.
Yeah.
She put us to work. So like we'd go to school for like 3 months, and then we get a month break in between, and in that month break, trust me, there was no break.
It was work.
We worked like Sunday to Sunday, 7 a.m to 7 p.m
Wow.
Yeah. And if we got anything outside of that, it was just academic stuff, which is like, for example, this program that I was involved in. And you know, the first year we went to the U.S. for the first training. And the second year, we went to Czech Republic.
The leadership?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So, I mean, at the end of the day, like, it's just one of those things. Like,
it's like a school or you're working.
Exactly. Okay. Like, she kept our minds so active.
Mm-hmm.
So that is a real representative of who we are today, outside of what we gained in school. Mm-hmm. She is, you know, largely to blame for my mind.
She did well, though. She did amazing. Yeah.
Yeah, she did.
Yeah. So when you came back from the UK and you wanted to get into entrepreneurship.
Right.
And you...
which was a no-brainer. We obviously love Mexican food. And at the time, there was like no Mexican food in Kenya at all.
Mm-hmm.
And not just in Kenya, but like even East Africa, you know. So
when was that? What year was that?
This was 2000. This is 3 years ago.
So
2016. 2016. So, yeah, 2016 October. I remember this.
Ah.
Yeah. So, I mean, we opened up the restaurant at our family's compound first, which is like furnished apartments. And there was a space there available. So, I mean, my family were kind enough to allow us to kind of test it out and see how it goes. And then, so that's just where it began. We just invested in it. And
let me cut you short 1 second, sorry.
Yeah.
So your family allowed you to use the space,
right? So
you and your sister, where did you get the starting capital from?
Savings.
Yes. Ah, right, the power of saving.
Yeah.
Power of saving. So from your savings, you're able to get equipment and
exactly,
you know, everything. So Is it that you were both in the kitchen trying out flavors, or you got people to, or what exactly happened?
So that's one of the things. Like, we would just make food at home when we'd have our friends over, like family over and stuff like that. And, you know, Mexican food is pretty easy to make once you think about it, because it's just like adding a bunch of random ingredients together.
Yeah.
And these random ingredients are very similar to what Kenyans like anyway. So we have, like, you know, instead of avocado we have the guacamole, instead of like kachumbari we have pico de gallo. The rice, the beans. It's pretty similar, and so just by making it for people and understanding that the palates are so similar, that's kind of how we decided to do it ourselves.
Were the two of you in the kitchen, or did you have to get people?
The two of us have been making food. Like, we always like test out recipes for our friends and family, like when they come over and stuff like that. But like, as I mentioned, like, Mexican food is like our favorite, and it's pretty easy to make, and it's dope for, like, you know, snacking nachos and like tacos, and you know what I mean.
So
and it's good for like groups and that kind of thing, especially if you're having like
a drink
with it, you know, or whatever. So it was just something that we were always like making all the time. So all our friends and family would be like, y'all should just do this, and we'd throw it out there like, maybe we'll open a restaurant. And they're like, what, do it, we love your food. And then that's just kind of how we decided to do it, because there was just an obvious market gap. And we kind of like perfected these recipes at this point. So the only thing to do was to expand the menu at that point. And then, because our family was kind enough to let us use the space, that took away, like, you know, rent, paying for like electricity, water, and that kind of stuff.
So for starting capital, if, you know, minus the electricity and the water and the rent that, you know, your family property was providing. Starting capital for, did you start small or did you just go all in?
I mean, you have to go all in for us in our situation, because you need the hot and cold stove. So, not the hot and cold stove, like the warmers. So it's kind of like, you know how like Subway works, and there's like separate, you know,
the way they put the ingredients in separate...
Exactly. But you see with Subway, they toast everything. So everything is like cold. It's like a little fridge, but kind of like in a certain, like, I don't know how to explain it.
Well, I have the image in my
mind. I'm sure. I hope so.
Yeah,
but it's all cold is what I'm trying to say. That's why they toast everything and they add everything on the back, at the back. But what we needed was one side cold and one side hot.
Oh, so does that make sense?
Yeah, because the hot side now is with the rice and the beans and the meats. And then the other side would have to be the salads and the guacs and the what. So it had to be like one side cold and one side hot. And that machine is freaking expensive. And you couldn't really run without that.
So approximately, what was your starting capital?
15,000.
15,000?
Yeah, US dollars.
Oh, I was like, 15,000 Kenyan shillings?
No.
15,000 US dollars. I was like, oh, wow, okay.
I wish.
Yeah.
I'm going to open a restaurant tomorrow. Another one.
Oh, man, So it was 15,000 USD, and then that was a starting capital, and you're still at your, you're using your parents' property. So at what point did you move from...
To the Alchemist. So after running for like about a year and a half on Valley Road, we had to move just because we weren't getting the right traffic. And furthermore, there were now like a bunch of other like Mexican restaurants opening up, and we were like panicking because like we kind of felt like the guinea pigs that came out here and kind of like tried this out, and then
guys decided to just
do the same thing. And no offense to some of these other restaurants, but they're not exactly like the best Mexican food. Like, I mean, I don't think that, I'm not even sure where their chefs are from, or whether there's a proper like cultural or cultural research even, you know. I'm not really sure, because the food just tastes so bland, and so if there's anything, oh yeah, of course, mm-hmm. of course, I have to. I mean, and not even in a bad way, but like, personally, I was excited because now we created, like, I guess, a niche in the restaurant business, mm-hmm. which is huge, you know, for any entrepreneur,
yeah.
and that's exciting. But at the same time, it's like, have you come in to propel us further, or are we like?
I get you.
Now just like making food just to make food and claiming that it's something that it isn't.
And just making profits
know?
Out of it.
Yeah. yeah, because at the end of the day, when you think Mexican, it's spicy.
Yeah.
Automatically, it's spicy. It's just like the quality of the little ingredients aren't necessarily like given priority, I feel.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas for us, that's really the heart of the meal. So that's like super important.
Yeah.
We trained our own chefs ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
So our chefs didn't know anything about Mexican culture. However, like, we're super strict
mm-hmm.
with our recipes. Had them make it, like, so many times. We had so many tastings. You can ask all my friends. But it's like, yeah, it's about perfecting it. It's about, like,
mm-hmm.
actually creating a niche, yes, but something that does reflect that culture.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I totally get that. So when you were still at Valley Road, were
yeah.
your profits, were you, was the business able to sustain itself, or were you constantly picking from your pockets and trying to
business up? I think with every business in the beginning, you'll pick out some cash from your pockets.
Mm-hmm.
So
it wasn't instant.
It definitely wasn't.
Yeah.
Girl, we were teaching people how to unwrap a burrito.
Oh my gosh. Oh, that's how. Oh, 2016. Yeah, because right now there are a lot of Mexican food places. I see. Wow.
Like, we were teaching people how to unwrap burritos. That's
wow.
that's really how it was. You know, that's. It's insane because we'd get like people ordering in like from Jumia or whatever, and then when they get their burrito, they're gonna like unwrap all the foil, open it up, and then put it on a plate and take a picture, and then send a picture to Jumia and being like, "Oh yeah, look at what kind of food is this?" Da, da, da. And I'm like, "Whoa, y'all just messed it all up. Like, that's not how you're supposed to unwrap a burrito because it's messy. Like,
yeah.
you're supposed to slowly unwrap around the foil as you take a bite, as you take a bite, as you take a bite. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it was like literally the small things like that we had to actually teach people how to do, which was very interesting. Yeah. So the move to the Alchemist happened a year and a half later.
Mm-hmm. And how was it? Were you guys making profits enough for you guys to move, or did you have to dig into your pockets again and then make the move?
I mean, we definitely had to reinvest because with the first time that we did it at our family's space, it wasn't like branded because
mm-hmm.
we didn't want to invest too much money into something and not like be sure about the returns.
Yeah.
So like our there was no branding. It was just like literally a space with the equipment, with just the basic necessities of what we needed.
Mm-hmm.
So of course, going into the Alchemist, we were just given like a little cement box where we are right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I could show you pictures later. Yeah, but before we got it, it was like a cement box. So
mm-hmm.
we had to do all our wiring, tiling, built our own kitchen. Like, we had to do
everything from scratch. And roughly how much did that cost?
So
the whole interior and the...
So that's the thing. So we tried to like cut down on all our costs.
Mm-hmm.
And the only way to do that was to design it and do it all ourselves and just get like, I guess, a plumber, a tiles guy, you know, an electrician,
mm-hmm.
A carpenter. So we basically put the project together because we didn't have enough money to like pay someone else to, you know, to contract for us. But at the same time, that it was tough because we only had like 3 weeks to do it.
Why 3 weeks?
We signed the lease with the Alchemist, but then at the time they were using the space to build the wall, because the wall, I don't know if you noticed, there was a time the wall moved further in
mm-hmm.
at the Alchemist,
mm-hmm.
just about, I guess, the road, and apparently Alchemist building on the road, which is a whole nother story.
Yeah, right.
But that was happening, so they needed to rebuild the wall immediately, and they were using that space for like holding their cement and, you know, all their equipment and stuff. But I mean, they weren't like rude to us. We didn't have to pay extra, but at the same time, we were like trying to time it mm-hmm. so that we would be open by the World Cup games and that kind of thing, because we didn't want to miss out on those sales. Mm-hmm. So we literally had like 2 weeks and a half to like get it all together.
Yeah.
Girl,
it was a lot, right?
I don't think I was even sleeping, but you know, such is life.
I mean, look at you guys now. So it was totally worth it.
Yeah, we definitely had to reinvest like money again, and
mm-hmm.
I mean, it wasn't as much as we expected in the beginning, just because we already had majority of the equipment now.
Mm-hmm.
So it was literally, I guess, getting the space to look like a restaurant, building the kitchen, doing the tile work, plumbing, electricity, woodwork, all that stuff. Yeah.
And by this time, you had to get chefs, because
we already had chefs.
You already had chefs by the time. Ah, awesome.
Yeah.
All right. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. What is one thing that Burrito Bar has taught you? It doesn't have to be business terms, but
patience.
Mm-hmm. How is that, my God. Like?
Still is like.
Mm-hmm.
It's tough.
Mm-hmm.
It's very tough, but at the same time, it's one of those things that it's nicer to see where you've put your money.
Yep.
than not having put it anywhere and then now trying to figure out where your money went.
Hi guys, thank you for listening to this week's episode of the Young Women in Business. I hope you guys collected all the golden nuggets possible, and I hope that you guys will be tuning in next Tuesday, same time, for the second half of this particular episode.